Now, when you've finished copying the map, I want you to write in the names of the cities I've marked with crosses. I'll start you off. New York. Now, you do the rest. And no cheating. If you both have the same wrong answers this time, I shall be very... Mr. Gibson.
A word with you, Miss Dunbar.
Of course, sir.
Out here.
Very well. Carry on quietly, please, Jordan.
What are you two staring at? Get back to work. Yeah, that's better. Now, here. You're not the only one playing with maps.
How long had you been watching me? And besides, we are certainly not playing.
Neither am I. Look at it.
The new hospitals.
All six of them. From Maracaju to the San Antonio Falls. The Gibson Clinics. Satisfied now?
Of course not. Six isn't enough. 60 wouldn't be enough.
You want to bankrupt me?
You could cover South America with hospitals and hardly miss a cent.
Is that what you want? Is that all you want?
It would do for a start.
Well, I dare say something can be arranged.
Now you know perfectly well you have only to say the word.
And when will you say the word?
Senator, my word has been said.
And I've told you how things stand. If I were free...
But you're not free, are you? So things must stay as they are for the present. If I can accept that, surely you can.
No, he can't.
Mrs. Gibson. Good morning, ma'am.
He can't accept it because he's never known what it's like to go without. Have you, Neil?
Not like you.
Not like me. At least, not until now. You should be flattered, Miss Dunbar. You're the first thing he's ever wanted that he's not been able to buy.
The Problem of Thor Bridge by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools. With Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Michael Williams as Dr. John Watson. And featuring William Hootkins as J. Neil Gibson and Charlotte Attenborough as Grace Dunbar. The Problem of Thor Bridge.
You're like no woman I've ever known. Marry me.
Why?
Why? Because it's what I want.
What about what I want?
I know what you want.
No, don't. No, please. Please. Whoa. Whoa, Gehenna. Whoa.
Are you all right, ma'am? Ma'am?
Mrs. Gibson!
Mr. Bates, I didn't see you.
You'll pardon my saying so, but you didn't seem to see much of anything. You near ended up inside the house.
Would you help me down, please?
Of course, ma'am. I'll get one of the lads to see to your horse.
Thank you.
A fine creature like this has to be looked after. I've seen too many things on this estate wither away for want of attention.
You're a good man, Mr. Bates. Make sure that you're not also a foolish one.
I know where my loyalties lie.
Loyalty is like love. Giving it to the wrong person can be dangerous. Thank you, Gehenna.
Ma'am, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Have you hurt your arm?
No, it's nothing.
Show me. How did you come by these? I see.
Mr. Bates!
Forget what you have seen, Mr. Bates, but remember what I said.
He was expecting you at 11.
Mr. Ferguson, not everything in life can be reduced to a cut-and-dried timetable. I can't run his estate the way you run his office.
So I noticed.
You keep your clever remarks to yourself.
We shouldn't be enemies, Bates. We're both wrapped up in this damn situation, and we've both got plenty to lose. Well, that should make us allies.
And what the devil you have to lose?
Everything. Do you think I've slaved away for him for all these years to finish up running a charitable society? Now, that damn governess is bleeding the guts out of him.
So who's going to change things, then? You?
Something's got to happen.
Well, perhaps something will.
And it has to be soon.
Winds and crack your cheeks. Rage, blow, you cataracts and hurricanoes.
Morning, Holmes.
Spout till you've drenched our steeples, drowned the clock.
Yes, I thought I heard the postman.
Oak-cleaving thunderbolts, singe my white head.
You've got a case at last, then.
I didn't realize the faculty of deduction was so contagious.
Wasn't much of a deduction. When you're not working, your mood goes up and down with the weather.
And that explains the cautious way you put your head round the door. Expecting gloom, well, dark clouds and occasional eruptions of thunder.
Well, I certainly wasn't expecting recitations from the classics.
Let the great gods find out their enemies now. Tremble, thou wretch, that hast within thee undivulged crimes unwhipped of justice. Hide thee, thou bloodied hand.
Please, not before breakfast.
Ah, yes, breakfast. I hope you're feeling strong.
I beg your pardon?
The Family Herald. I observed a copy on the hall table.
Oh, well, so did I. The new cook, I assumed. What's that got to do with breakfast?
Even so trivial a matter as the boiling of an egg demands a degree of attention.
So?
Maria's new master.
Holmes, why don't we ever have a straightforward conversation?
Maria's new master. A love romance in 5 installments. Final installment today.
Oh.
Yes, the eggs came a poor second, I'm afraid.
Tough, are they?
Think of them as challenging. When does Mrs. Hudson return?
2 weeks next Friday.
We'll be walking skeletons.
Mm. How's the coffee?
Yes, I have a case. After a month of stagnation, the wheels move once more. Have you heard of Neil Gibson?
Dear Mr. Sherlock Holmes, I can't see the best woman God ever made go to her death without doing all that is possible to save her.
Well, of course I have. The American senator. I think I'll risk it.
Ex-senator.
Yes. Lives over here, huh?
What a huge estate 5 years ago. Anything else?
Neil Gibson, the Gold King. Ridiculous nickname.
Accurate. His fortune's supposed to be beyond calculation.
I can't explain things. I can't even try to explain them. But I know beyond all doubt that Miss Dunbar is innocent.
What do you know about his wife?
I don't know what the whole rest of the country knows. She's just been murdered by her own governess.
Ah, you've seen the reports.
Ah, I could hardly miss them.
True enough, but did you read them?
I glanced through the one in the Times. It seemed pretty much cut and dry.
It's the damned injustice of it all that makes me mad. That woman has a heart that wouldn't let her killer fly.
Cut and dried. The interesting personality of the accused does not obscure the clearness of the evidence. That was the view of the coroner's jury and the police court.
So it's gone to assizes.
Winchester next week. It's a thankless business. I can discover facts, Watson, but I can't change them. Unless new ones come to light.
Is that likely?
Well, I don't see what else my client can hope for.
Your client being...
Oh, I'm getting into your involved habit of telling the story backwards.
Here, a royal missive from the palace of the Gold King.
Oh, I see. Thank you. Thor plays Hampshire.
All I know, and all I have, and all I am are for your use. If only you can save her. If ever in your life you showed your powers, put them now into this case.
Fulsome sort of chap, isn't he?
Don't underestimate him, Watson. He's a formidable character, and a violent one.
Violent?
So it's said.
He's quite definite about this Miss Dunbar's innocence
without offering a shred of evidence in her favor.
Maybe I have a clue and don't know it.
I had no idea the case was coming my way. I'd have had these sorted out and ready. Horrible murder on historical English estate. One or two useful facts buried under half a page of lurid speculation. Most of these others are even worse. I'll give it to you in a nutshell.
Thank you.
Then you'll be able to take an intelligent interest in the proceedings.
You're too kind.
Now, J. Neil Gibson, ex-senator of some western state, and now one of the greatest financial powers in the world. He married a wife,
the victim of this tragedy. I know nothing about her save that she was, past her prime, which was unfortunate, as, the couple's two young children were superintended by, Miss Grace Dunbar, a governess of some attractiveness. Well, here's the place. And the setting is Thorbridge, half a mile from the house. That's where the body was found.
Thank you. Found late at night, clad in her dinner dress, with a shawl over her shoulders and a bullet through her brain. Why suspect the governess?
Nasty.
Shut up and get out of my way. Give me the lamp.
Sir? Now. Pistol, close range, one shot.
What's that in her hand?
Where?
Her left hand. Here.
No, no, leave it, Bates.
No, I'm sure I can get it. There. Oh, it's just a bit of paper.
Give it to me.
Oh, it's some sort of note.
Bates, give it to me, I said.
Come to Thorbridge at 9 this evening. And it's signed, Grace Dunbar.
Was it her handwriting?
Oh, yes. Apparently, she doesn't deny it. The papers can be believed. What's more, she was seen at the bridge on the evening of the murder.
A reliable witness?
A passing local is the best description I've found. Could be the village idiot.
Or the village parson.
She has no alibi for any of the rest of that evening. She stayed in her bedroom and was seen by no one. And strongest of all... Yes. Strongest of all. Well...
Stop! This is intolerable! Sergeant!
Just stay quiet and let us get on with our work, miss.
If you'll tell me what you're looking for, I could save your men this effort.
Nothing in the cabinet, sir.
Or on the shelves.
Do the wardrobe.
Sir.
My clothes are in that wardrobe, nothing else.
Do it.
You'll pay for this damage, Sergeant, I swear it.
Whatever you say, miss.
How dare you patronize me?
Sarge,
what you got, Jennings?
Here.
I've never seen that before.
Well, well. It's loaded, too. With 5 bullets. One's been fired.
Money is nothing.
I beg your pardon.
This woman is innocent and has to be cleared. Money is nothing. You can burn it if it'll light you to the truth. Name your figure.
My professional charges are on a fixed scale.
You don't vary them?
Only when I remit them all together.
Pah! Well, if dollars make no difference to you, think of the reputation. If you pull this off, every paper in England and America will be booming you.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson, but I don't believe I'm in need of booming. Watson.
Perhaps if we could just get down to the facts, Mr. Gibson.
Well, you'll find all the main ones in the press reports.
Can't you add anything that will help us?
I don't know that I can. But if you've any specific questions, then ask away.
There is just one point.
What is it?
What were the exact relations between you and Miss Dunbar?
I suppose you're within your rights in asking such a question.
We'll agree to suppose so.
Then I assure you that my relations were entirely those of an employer to a young lady on his staff. I only ever spoke to her, I only ever saw her when she was in the company of my children.
I'm a busy man, Mr. Gibson.
What?
I haven't the time or the taste for aimless conversations. Good morning.
What the devil do you mean? Are you dismissing my case?
No, Mr. Gibson, I'm dismissing you. This matter is quite complicated enough without the added difficulty of false information.
Meaning that I'm lying?
Well, I was trying to put it as delicately as I could, but if you insist on the word, I won't contradict you.
You insufferable scoundrel. I ought to teach you a lesson.
Don't be noisy. It's too soon after breakfast.
You've done yourself no good this morning, Mr. Holmes. No man ever crossed me and was the better for it. I've broken stronger men than you.
So many have said so, and yet here I am. Any views?
A man used to getting his own way.
Whatever obstacles may be in his path.
Do you think he'll come back?
He's sure to come back. He must come back.
Dinner.
Oh,
You stay just where you are. Here.
It looks disgusting.
You don't want it? Say the word. There's others will be grateful for the extra.
I do want it.
Yeah.
But when I get out of here...
What?
I shall see that something is done about these conditions.
Well, you know. Well, I look forward to that.
Sherlock Holmes is working on my case. Do you hear me, Sherlock Holmes?
Well, this is more like it. No Family Herald this morning, I presume. Well, you're not eating.
Really, it's very good.
Oh, now, come on. It's bad enough you starving yourself when you have a case.
I had a case. After 4 miserable weeks of boredom and decay. And what did I do? I threw it away.
You might still come back.
I misread the man completely.
These things happen.
Not to me.
To everyone.
I was sure he wouldn't let the case drop. Everything about him said so. Joel, what's the matter with me?
At the moment? Nothing that a bit more breakfast and a little less self-pity wouldn't remedy.
You're right.
I know I am. Shall I ring for another kipper?
No. Did you hear that?
What?
The postman! I'll get it! I'll get it!
Good news. Thank God for that.
From Thor Place, Hampshire.
So you didn't misread him?
Oh, of course not.
Well done. Well, what did he say?
Nothing.
What do you mean?
It's not from him.
Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Cummings, my friend and partner, Dr. Watson.
Pleasure, sir.
Likewise, Mr. Cummings.
I have a trap waiting.
To take us to Thor Place?
No, Mr. Holmes, I'm afraid not.
Ah.
Not yet.
So Mr. Gibson didn't authorize your letter?
No, Mr. Holmes.
Does he even know you wrote it?
No. The senator engaged my services to defend Miss Dunbar. He told me he wanted the best defense money could buy. I've done no more than follow his instructions.
By sending for us?
Exactly.
Against the wishes of your employer.
Oh, really, Watson?
I understand your concern, Doctor. But I'm sure I can persuade Mr. Gibson that this is the best course. Frankly, gentlemen, at the moment all the cards are against us. My client needs all the help she can get.
I'll tell you anything you want to know.
Good. Start with this. What was your relationship with Mr. Gibson's wife?
That's not an easy question to answer. Until this terrible business happened, I would have said that she liked me well enough. Well, perhaps tolerated me would be a better phrase.
My client was in sole charge of the children after all. Mrs. Gibson would hardly have permitted that if she didn't think she was a fit person.
Did she know of your relationship with her husband?
She knew I had some influence over him,
Did she know the nature of that influence?
Do you?
Not in exact detail, no.
Then perhaps I should furnish you with exact detail.
If you consider the matter too personal...
Please do.
I was able to make him understand that one man's fortune shouldn't be built on the ruined lives of 10,000 others. That all his power and his strength could be made to work for good purposes and not just material ones. I made him see past the dollars to something more lasting.
You're claiming to have changed the entire direction of his life.
That is precisely what I did, sir.
What was Mrs. Gibson's reaction?
The subject was never mentioned. I don't believe she was capable of understanding the ties that bound her husband to me.
Surely she understood completely.
The mental and spiritual ties.
What was your attitude towards her?
I pitied her.
Why?
Because Mr. Gibson treated her very badly. A woman shouldn't be afraid of her own husband. It isn't right.
Did she know how you felt?
Oh, yes. I often reproached Mr. Gibson for the way he behaved towards her.
In public, Miss Dunbar? Before the other servants?
Certainly, Doctor. I'm not in the habit of concealing my beliefs as if I were ashamed of them.
You said until this terrible business happened. How's Mrs. Gibson's death changed your mind?
It wasn't her death. It was what happened just before it.
Whore! Scheming little whore! Deceitful, scheming, lying little bitch!
She was like a mad woman. I think she might actually have been insane.
First you steal my children, then you steal my husband. What more do you want? What's next? You want my jewels, my money, my clothes? Well, tell me!
Just a moment.
What, Mr. Holmes?
Where exactly did this meeting take place? When?
On the night of the murder. At 9 o'clock on Thor Bridge.
So you were at the bridge that evening?
My client has never denied it.
Having asked Mrs. Gibson to meet you there?
No, no, of course not.
Oh? That's the impression we gain from the newspapers, Miss Dunbar.
Dr. Watson, a lowly governess does not summon the wife of her employer to meetings.
It was the other way round.
She asked you?
Yes, Doctor, she asked me.
Miss Dunbar, do you mean that literally? What did she say?
No, she didn't speak to me. She sent me a note.
Well, where is this note?
I destroyed it.
What?
Why, Miss Dunbar?
Because she asked me to. All this has been gone over before.
Not by me. What did this note say? The exact wording.
She asked me to meet her.
No. The exact wording.
I don't remember the exact wording. She asked me... No, she implored me to meet her at the bridge after dinner.
Did she say why?
Because she had something important to say to me. Something that had to be said in private. I was to leave an answer on the sundial in the garden.
Didn't that strike you as odd?
Of course it did. But she said that secrecy was vital, that no one must see us discussing anything out of the ordinary.
Did that explanation satisfy you?
No, but I thought I knew the real reason.
She didn't want her husband to know about the meeting.
Exactly. So I did as she asked and destroyed the note.
Whereas she kept your reply very carefully.
Yes, I was surprised to hear that.
You didn't notice it in her hand when you met?
I was rather too distracted by what she was saying.
Yes, of course. When she made these accusations, what did you answer?
Nothing.
You didn't try to defend yourself?
She wouldn't have heard me. I don't think she even noticed when I left.
How long did you stay with her?
Not more than a few minutes.
So you left her at, say, 9:05 at the latest. What time did death occur, Cummings?
The police doctor couldn't be sure.
Yes, he never can. Did he venture an educated guess?
2 to 3 hours before he examined the body.
Which was when?
11:30 that night.
Yeah, so she was killed not long after you left her, Miss Dunbar. Did you see anyone else in the area as you walked away?
No, Mr. Holmes.
Did you hear a shot?
No, but...
But what?
Well, I'm ashamed to say that I was so agitated after the things she said. I was hardly capable of noticing anything.
A considerable pity.
I'm aware of it.
Now, the vital point. This pistol that was found in your room, had you ever seen it before?
What the devil is the meaning of this?
Senator, if you'll just let me explain what
I... Shut up. By God, I'll have you disbarred from...
Mr. Gibson, please listen to reason.
I don't know why you think you're here anyway. It's Holmes who's a detective, isn't it?
I am Mr. Holmes's partner. We work together.
Not for me, you don't. I thought I'd made that clear.
You, sir, have made several things abundantly clear.
What the devil is that supposed to mean?
I thought I was acting for the best.
Answer me, sir.
No, Mr. Gibson, you answer me. Do you sincerely want to see Miss Dunbar safe on the gallows?
What sort of question is that?
The sort I should care to have answered.
Of course I do, man.
But then you stand in need of my services.
There are other detectives.
You came to me in the first place because you were told that I was the best. You were not misinformed.
I wasn't told that you were damnably rude and no respecter of privacy.
I respect only the facts, the truth.
And what is the truth?
That Grace Dunbar is no murderer.
Can you prove that?
Yes, I can.
I'll see you in my office at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Good timing, Mr. Cummings. Another half hour and the light will be gone.
Forgive me, but is there likely to be anything to see after all this time?
Oh, probably not. But Holmes likes to get a feel for the scene of the crime. Soak up the atmosphere, you understand.
Ah. Well, Mr. Holmes, she was found...
Quiet, quiet.
Oh, sorry.
That's very good. Ah, you were saying?
The body was found just over there.
The police marked the spot with those stones.
Oh, very good. How's it lying?
On the back.
Yeah. Any traces of a struggle?
None.
Now, tell me about the note.
It was clutched in Mrs. Gibson's left hand.
Clutched?
So I understand they had to prize open her fingers to get it.
You know, there's something about that note that's been bothering me.
Me too. Carry on.
Well, assuming that the reports were accurate, it said, come to Thor Bridge at 9 this evening.
That's spot on, Doctor.
But Miss Dunbar insists that it was a reply. Hardly reads like a reply, now does it?
Yes, excellent, Watson. Mr. Cummings?
Miss Dunbar swears that what she wrote was, I shall come to Thor Bridge. I've been working on the assumption that part of the sheet was lost when it was removed.
Ah, so one edge of the paper was torn.
Well, actually, no, it wasn't.
Yes, interesting.
Interesting? Peculiar, more like.
Some grades of paper do tear in a clean, straight line.
True enough. Oh, what the devil?
Holmes? Come here!
What were you doing?
Ruining a perfectly good walking cane.
I can see that. Why, for heaven's sake?
I was trying to chip the stonework.
Why, Mr. Holmes?
To see if I could reproduce this.
Yes, do you see?
Where?
Ah, yeah. I've got it. A chip out of the balustrade. Looks fresh.
Curious, isn't it?
Probably done by a passerby, a rambler or some such.
You think so? Yeah, you must have some interestingly violent ramblers in this district.
Are you sure you won't have one of these?
Quite sure.
Just as you like. Now, where's your partner?
Talking to the staff.
Delegation, eh? I never believed in it. Well, I suppose you were quite justified in wanting the facts, but I can assure you that my relationship with Miss Dunbar doesn't have any bearing on this case.
That's for me to decide, is it not?
I guess most men have a little private reserve in some corner of their souls where they don't welcome intruders. I'd say you knew all about that.
We're discussing you, not me.
And you burst right into that area. I'm not used to being treated like that. Well, now the barriers are down and you can explore where you will. What do you want to know?
The truth.
Well, I met my wife when I was gold hunting in Brazil. She was rare and wonderful and passionate. Tropical. Very different from the American women I'd known. I loved her. And I married her. It was only when the romance had passed that I realized we had nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, in common.
Your love faded.
I'm not pretending to be any better than I am. You've seen Miss Dunbar. She's a very beautiful woman. I couldn't live under the same roof as her and not feel the way I did. Do you blame me, Holmes? I said that I'd marry her if I could.
Indeed.
But since that wasn't possible, I offered to do anything in my power to make her happy.
If she would do the same for you.
I told her money was no object.
Very generous, I'm sure.
Now, see here, Holmes, I'm not asking for your criticism.
It's only for the young lady's sake that I touch your case at all. Nothing she's accused of is worse than what you've just admitted, that you try to ruin a defenseless girl who was under your protection. Some of you rich men have to be taught that all the world can't be bribed into condoning your offenses.
Fine beast, Mr. Bates.
He is that, Doctor. Mrs. Gibson knew a good animal when she saw one.
He was hers?
Oh, yes.
How did Mrs. Gibson get on with the staff?
You won't find anyone with a word to say against her.
Including Miss Dunbar?
Well, I don't know how she met her death. But this I do know. We all liked her. And we all hated him for the way he treated her. He's a villain, Dr. Watson. A damn villain.
That's strong language, Mr. Bates.
Yeah, well, I've nothing to lose now by speaking my mind. I've given him notice. 2 more weeks, and I'll be free of his slavery.
I was told that your family's worked on this land for generations.
Yeah, my great-grandfather was the first estate manager, and it's been father to son ever since. But not anymore. I want you to give Mr. Holmes a message. Will you do that?
What is the message?
Gibson's not what he seems. All these good works and charities and the rest, it's all fake. He's plausible, and he's cunning, and he's not to be trusted.
I believe my wife was planning to murder Miss Dunbar.
Indeed.
Maria was bitterly jealous of Grace and of the influence she had over me.
Ah, yes, the hospitals, the charity work, the famine relief. Cummings furnished me with a list, most impressive.
Yeah, well, my wife had never been able to turn my mind in that direction.
And so, she was jealous?
Mr. Holmes, she was crazy with hatred.
And that fact seems to have eluded Miss Dunbar, at least until their final meeting.
Maria was a clever woman, well able to keep her feelings hidden.
Except from you, seemingly.
You don't get far in this life unless you can see under the skin of people.
Very true.
I think that there was a scuffle, the gun went off and shot the woman who was holding it.
But Miss Dunbar denies any such thing.
Well, that's not necessarily final, is it?
What do you mean?
I mean, she would have been bewildered, in shock. She could easily have hurried home and hidden the gun, not knowing what she was doing.
And now she's trying to lie her way out of it?
Well, yes. Yes. Exactly.
Here you are, Doctor. The gun room.
Very impressive, Mr. Ferguson.
There are over 300 handguns in the collection. The earliest is 14th century Chinese.
Mm-hmm. A rich man's hobby.
I suppose so.
And the murder weapon?
An 18th century Spanish revolver. I identified it for the police.
As part of this collection?
I knew it at once.
You're familiar with all these guns?
Part of my duties.
As private secretary? An unusual part?
Mr. Gibson is an unusual man.
Where was it kept?
Oh, cabinet number 10.
You don't keep these cabinets locked?
Mr. Gibson's orders.
What about ammunition? Is that more secure?
Most of the collection's kept loaded at all times.
Good God. Do you approve of that?
One does not disapprove of the senator.
Not openly.
The police still have the gun, of course, but I can show you the case here.
Thank you. This case is made for two guns.
Yes.
Then where's the other one?
I'm afraid I don't know.
The second gun is missing.
Yeah. I thought that might interest you.
This is an interesting case all round. What else did you discover?
I'll tell you when we get to where we're going.
What is this place?
It's Mr. Bates' private firing range.
Is the entire household obsessed with guns?
Your gold king certainly is. He has his own range, indoors. Mechanical targets, soundproof shields, all the latest gadgets.
Whereas Mr. Bates amuses himself with empty bottles perched on a wall. Intriguing contrast. Why are we here?
Because it's a good way from the house. We can talk unobserved.
Well, hardly unremarked. I don't suppose many visitors to Thor Place end up here.
No, I thought of that. I borrowed these from Bates. Not as exotic as anything from the Gibson collection, but just as effective.
He wasn't surprised.
I told him the target practice helped you think.
And he believed you.
Why shouldn't he? It's no stranger than playing the violin, starving yourself, or sitting up all night smoking.
A devotee of the Strand magazine, is he?
I have my followers, just as you have yours now. The governess, Miss Dunbar. The estate manager, Mr. Bates. The private secretary, Mr. Ferguson. And Mr. J. Neil Gibson.
I see we've been thinking on parallel lines.
Choose your weapon, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you, Dr. Watson. Bullets?
Already loaded.
Ah.
Shall we?
Lead on. Now, what's it to be? You got 20 paces and turn and fire?
Yeah, sounds about right.
20. Miss Dunbar is innocent.
Your reasoning.
Imagine yourself in her character.
All right.
In a cold, premeditated fashion, you're about to get rid of a rival.
I planned it. I've written the note to lure her to the bridge. I have my gun.
You face her and you shoot, workmanlike and complete. What do you do next?
I get rid of the murder weapon.
By the quickest, cleanest method.
I threw it in the stream.
Of course you do. You're not going to do anything so stupid as take it home and hide it carefully in the first place where anyone's going to search. You'd ruin your reputation as a criminal.
Perhaps in the heat of the moment.
No.
Or a deliberate ploy to throw us off the scent.
No. Miss Dunbar is innocent.
Good shooting.
Thank you.
And as it happens, I agree with you.
Yes, I thought you might. Now, once your point of view changes, so does everything else. The one thing that was so damning becomes our strongest clue.
Someone put the gun in the wardrobe to incriminate Miss Dunbar. But who?
Mr. Bates.
Holmes?
Was next on your list, I think. Motive?
I'm not sure. Perhaps he doesn't have one.
Tell me about him.
Well, he hates Gibson.
Indeed.
That's hardly surprising, really. Bates' family have managed this estate for generations, and now here's this upstart American making sweeping changes left, right, and center.
Does Bates hate him enough to kill his wife and frame the woman he loves?
No, I don't think so. For one thing, he was very fond of Maria Gibson.
He told you so?
He didn't need to. And for another, how could killing her change anything anyway?
It couldn't. Getting rid of Grace Dunbar might. A gold king with nothing to live for set sail back to America.
That part's plausible. But not killing the woman to do it, I don't believe it. Besides, Bates has resigned. If you were right, he'd stay in the job long enough to see if his plan worked.
Well, be my guest.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I've stayed in practice.
Is that a joke, Doctor?
Certainly not.
Good. Mr. Ferguson.
He's a sort of Gibson in training. General opinion in the servants' hall is that he thinks his master can do no wrong. I rather got the impression that things have changed.
Well done. He disapproves of the new direction, the charity work.
How do you know?
Gibson told me.
Then Ferguson isn't as good at hiding his feelings as he thinks he is. That's a strong motive. Remove Miss Dunbar, and the old days may well come back again.
Unfortunately, Gibson also told me that Ferguson was in London on the night of the murder.
Provable?
Ironically enough, he was collecting a charity award on Gibson's behalf. Several hundred witnesses of impeccable honesty.
Your turn, I think.
Thank you.
Which leaves us with the Gold King himself.
Motive. Remove the obstacle to happiness with Miss Dunbar.
Opportunity ample.
And barefaced cheek enormous. Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've been retained by a murderer to solve his own crime. What else?
The pistols. Who was better placed to take them? And Holmes. The second gun, the one that's missing. That was the murder weapon, not the one the police found at all. Gibson fired off one round from that one, then hid it in the wardrobe and used the matching weapon to kill his wife. Afterwards, he just threw it in the river.
Very sound reasoning. But why implicate the woman he loves?
I don't know. A blind?
Man, I'd have been carrying barefaced cheek too far, I think, even for him.
Well, then?
Why do I keep seeing that chip in the stonework?
I've no idea.
Yes, unfortunately, neither have I. I don't. Why? Why, what? Oh, my dear Watson.
Holmes?
You've got it! With the help of the God of Justice, I'll give them a case that'll make England ring.
Then it was Gibson.
J. Neil Gibson. Oh, no, my friend. It was someone quite different. Very well. The clouds are lifting, and the light of truth is breaking through.
I hope you have more to offer than second-rate poetry, Holmes.
I believe I have. Mr. Cummings.
Mr. Holmes?
String, if you please.
Here you are. But I really don't see
patience,
what...
Patience. Watson, your revolver.
Here.
Excellent. Good solid firearm. How did it compare with the murder weapon, Mr. Gibson?
I'd say it was a touch smaller.
Probably a touch lighter, I fancy. Well, no matter. It will serve. Mr. Cummings, take charge of these, will you?
Of course.
Holmes, if you know who killed my wife, why can't you just come out and say so?
Because knowing is one thing, proving is quite another. Watson here has seen me miss my mark before.
Is he about to again?
Well, we can but try. Find me a stone. There's a good chap.
I beg your pardon?
A stone, round, reasonably smooth, about so big. There are plenty over there.
This better be good.
Now, if I tie one end of the string to the gun and the other to... Oh, come along, Senator. It's a simple enough task. Pretend you're looking for gold.
This is hardly a time for levity, Holmes.
No, you're quite right. Now, if you'll hold the stone for a moment so that I can get my string securely around it...
Mr. Holmes, what are you suggesting?
Not now, Mr. Cummings. Don't anticipate the climax. Thank you, Doctor. Now, Mr. Gibson, if you'll relinquish your stone to Watson...
With pleasure.
Thank you. Doctor, if you'll walk straight across to the other edge of the bridge...
Very well.
...and lower the stone over the side.
Right.
If I gauge the length of string correctly, it should stop just above the water level.
Let's see. Yes, you're right. Ready to take the strain?
Ready.
I'm letting go... Now!
Holmes! Now, I'm standing where Mrs. Gibson stood, and I've done everything that Mrs. Gibson did. The string, the stone, the gun, the fatal shot. I fall backwards and let go of the gun! Now, if you examine the stonework...
A new chip!
Not 2 inches from the old one!
Yes, your gun may have been lighter than hers, Doctor, but it was pulled over that balustrade with just as much force. Drag the river, Cummings, and you'll find Mrs. Gibson's suicide weapon lying right next to Watson's pistol. Was there ever a more exact demonstration? Senator?
My God.
Your gun all right, is it?
Oh, yeah. Seemed far worse than a quick dip in a stream.
Good.
Do you know, I don't think we've ever come across a stranger example of what perverted love can bring about.
I agree with you.
To plan it all out like that.
Remarkable subtlety of mind, the late Mrs. Gibson. Extracting that note from her victim and changing it the way she did. I believe that's unique.
Well, you should know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good as new.
Splendid.
Until the next time, I suppose.
A drink?
Yes, thank you. You know...
What?
I was very impressed with Miss Dunbar. We've helped a remarkable woman.
And a formidable man.
Yes, indeed. Do you suppose they'll join forces in the future?
It seems likely. Powerful combination.
Oh, yes.
One that'll make its mark on the world.
Yeah.
No question. Thank you. Two very different people, of course.
With more in common than is visible to the naked eye. A recipe for success.
Is that a fact?
Ah, so I've heard.
Your very good health.
And yours.
In The Problem of Thorbridge, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with William Hootkins as J. Neil Gibson and Charlotte Attenborough as Grace Dunbar. Maria Gibson was played by Jilly Bond, Joyce Cummings by Charles Simpson, Marlowe Bates by Michael Tudor Barnes, Ferguson by Mark Straker, the police sergeant by George Parsons, the policemen by David Antrobus and Joshua Taub, and the warder by Don McCorkindale. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman.